Jason, the Bears just had their end of season press conference, and it was very different than the ones that we're used to hearing. We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, you and I are sitting inside of Hallis Hall for probably the last time for a while, unless anything screwy happens.
Till March for free agency.
Yeah, and where we just got done participating in a press conference with Ben Johnson and general manager Ryan Poles. Poles hadn't talked to us since when on the record? It'd been a while.
The trade deadline.
So it was
which is weird because he came down and just chatted in the cubicles. So you didn't see video of that or anything.
Yeah, and he told us the value of Joe Tryon Shoyanka. Mm-hmm.
He's taken a step back this year mm-hmm. in terms of his visibility, which we would like more of him the better. Mm-hmm. But I understand what he's doing in terms of kind of pushing the spotlight to Ben Johnson.
Yeah, also Ben Johnson's got some say in the front office in a way that the previous coaches didn't. So that power dynamic's just a slightly different thing. They talked today about how well they've worked together, and I think when you look at the results, those back it up. But just in general, Jason, this was the weirdest one of these I've done. And I've been here since 2013, and it was weird in the sense that everybody was pretty happy. And I look back at the good seasons I've covered. There's 2018, which ended with the double doink, which never forget Matt Nagy sitting at a table at a press conference, staring into the middle of distance, and his left foot just bouncing up and down for 45 minutes. like he couldn't possibly sit still. And even the first Mark Trestman year, which is a decent season, ended when the Bears failed to cover somebody in the final minute and it knocked them out of the playoff or knocked them out of playoff contention. Those are how the good seasons have ended. And then the bad ones have ended the way the bad ones have ended. So to have everybody, even though Ben Johnson was going out of his way to say, we've not done anything yet, we all slide down to the bottom in the off season, there was definitely a vibe of contentment.
Oh, this is the most pleasant it's been. Mm-hmm. And I think we should start with some of the big picture things, and that's a great place to start right there, is that things are good at Hallis Hall. Mm-hmm. And locker cleanout day on Monday was like this too. So you have locker cleanout with the players on Monday, and you have Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles on Wednesday, and it's the least depressing year-end whatever that I've ever been to, because there's such a good feeling about what they've done and such a good feeling about where they're headed. Now, I think one thing that I came in thinking, that I've been thinking, and that was pretty clear that is in Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson's mind, is that this season was great. This was what a turnaround mm-hmm. from 5-12 the year before. Right. And from years and years and years of misery and mediocrity by the Bears. But that this will not be celebrated again. This right. is now the new bar that they need, making the playoffs, being viable in the NFC North. That's now the minimum, as it should be for everybody. The goal will be very clearly from here forward, compete for championships. And if you see them doing anything less than that, you should never let them off the hook for it. The standards have been reset here, but that's like a one-time parade for that. Now it's you need to compete for championships. And Ryan Poles has typically been pretty conservative in player acquisition, and he was talking about that a little bit today, that when you start doing things that are crazy, it sets you back for years. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some tough calls for them on players to keep, players to get rid of off their current roster. There are some unrestricted free agents like Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker. There also are effectively free agents in Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift and players like that.
Tremaine Edmonds. Yeah.
That they can very cheaply get out of if they want to and go somewhere else at those positions or replenish through the draft at some of those spots. They've already kind of done that at tight end with bringing in Colston Loveland. But the goal will be to take this team from, okay, this is nice, this is great, but this can't be where it ends. I mean, this is you do this 5 years in a row, you probably get fired.
Yeah,
at serious places.
Well, and I think we've seen this offseason, the last 2 weeks, what happens at serious places when you have playoff and postseason aspirations, and it doesn't work well. Steelers, Mike Tomlin walked away. He was done. John Harbaugh, fired. Bills decided to fire McDermott. And as this press conference was going on here on Wednesday morning, Jason, you know, my Twitter feed is filled with anecdotes of the ownership in Buffalo arguing that, you know, the Keon Coleman draft pick was made by the coaches and not the GM who they decided to keep. Playing for championships and having expectations doesn't make these things pleasant. If anything, it just ramps up the stakes of the highs and lows. So yeah, it's going to be a different world here. But for today, and I think you phrased it well, today's probably the last day that you can take a victory lap on this.
Yeah. And then there was a lot of attention paid going forward by Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles to the pillars of their future. There's a lot still that has to be sorted out. Quite frankly, you look at this team compared to what championships have been. This is kind of a weird year in the NFL because I feel like none of these teams are that great. Mm-hmm. They're all very – the ones that are left are very good. None of them are that great. If you want to hold them up against what you typically expect championship teams to be like, which would be the Eagles and Chiefs over the last few years, the Rams before them, the Buccaneers, you look at those teams and what those teams had, there's a lot to do here. But the two most important things you need to have are a quarterback and a head coach. And Ben Johnson was not up here as he was a year ago talking about what a good head coach the Bears have. But he was talking a lot about Caleb Williams. Ryan Poles talked a lot about Ben Johnson. What did you hear on Caleb Williams first? Let's talk about that.
I'm Caleb Williams' number one believer. That was the quote that Ben Johnson said. Believer is an interesting word. It's not, you know, he could have said I'm Caleb's number one fan. I'm Caleb's number one supporter. But believer, I think, puts it the right way. And number one, he gave you a lot to look forward to, a lot to dream on. But also, there are things he needs to improve. Ben Johnson wasn't ready to break down, okay, this is exactly what we want him to do. He did say his advice for Caleb was to get away from football for a while. And I think you and I can vouch for the fact that Caleb got away from football pretty quick. Went to a hockey
game. Done and done.
Hockey game Monday, basketball game Tuesday. You know, Lord knows where he's going to go Wednesday. But that being, both of them seemed, in the word I posted on in the Sun-Times story, I just put on our website, they seem satisfied. And maybe not satisfied with exactly where Caleb is now, but they seem satisfied with Caleb in total. And I can't tell you the last time I went to a Bears end-of-season press conference and the quarterback was spoken about the way this one has been spoken about.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just but
that's excellent news, by the way. That is, they could have gone 6-11, and if this was the tone of the conversation at the end of the season, you and I would sit there and go, yes, fantastic, go forward, great.
The Bears have not had certainty at quarterback like this since Jay Cutler, where they were just there was certainty about this guy can play and this guy is our future. Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields never got to that point. If you remember the year the Bears got the number one draft pick, so that was Ryan Poles' first season, the burndown year, 2022. They had the number one pick in the 23 draft. And Ryan Poles' year-end press conference, he was not definitive about keeping Justin Fields. That is what they ended up doing. But he said, we're going to look at all these guys in the draft.
Do you remember walking into the hallway 10 feet from us after that press conference?
And trying to parse what he meant?
And you, Mark Potash, and I all had three very different interpretations of what he was saying. And I think
that was the point.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that he was staying. That was my impression. I think Potsy thought that they were walking away from him. And as it turns out, it was a pretty easy decision. But he didn't want to say that on January 5th.
Well, but they did a full evaluation of is Bryce Young better than Justin Fields, which, by the way, he is. Mm-hmm. Is C.J. Stroud better than Justin Fields, which, by the way, he is too, even as much as he struggled. That would not be a conversation. That quarterback conversation isn't happening here. And I think it's been happening every year since probably the tail end of Jay Cutler. I think even Mitch at his best, that was still a conversation of, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they decide. And Mitch at his best was really being still measured up as not even close to what the other two guys in that draft class, Watson and Mahomes, were.
Sure.
We're just not talking about that. There is no conversation at the end of this season, Pat, about Jaden Daniels, Drake May, even as well as he's played, and that he might be about to go to a Super Bowl. In fact, he is about to go to a Super Bowl. I hope he's got a hotel booked there. This is the most certainty they've had at quarterback. I would put this to you to answer. When is the last time they had this kind of certainty at head coach? Just this certainty that this is absolutely a building block here.
Matt Nagy 2 days after the double doink game, probably. Okay. I think that...
You think they felt that good then about him?
I do. And you and I have talked about this. I think that people forget just how beloved Matt Nagy was through that season. Running trick plays, having fun, doing the boom. When he would go boom, that was the proto good, better, best.
How would you describe Matt Nagy to somebody? If somebody said, tell me about Matt Nagy. Wouldn't you start with...
A delightful regular guy.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so you put that with all the winning. Yeah. Of course, that is a hit. And then when the winning goes away, it's not so lovable. But
yeah. And I mean, we knew in that moment, though, that, you know, even though Mitch Trubisky, and I'll scream this from the rooftops, Mitch Trubisky marched them down the field to set them up to try to make a field goal to win the playoff game. There was still questions about Mitch. And so long as the quarterback and coach are tied at the hip, and I believe they are, in almost every situation, but particularly when they are the offensive play callers. Mitch dragged Nagy down. His play did. And then the Bears weren't savvy enough to find a way out of it. Nick Foles. I mean, come on.
They wanted to trade their whole team for Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks wouldn't let him.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Broncos were unlucky enough to convince them, a year later to do the same thing?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But these guys, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, did not come in together. That was part of the problem. But the difference between the last couple of mismatches where Nagy gets stuck with Mitch and Eberflus and Poles get stuck with Fields is that Caleb Williams was a selling point to go hire the top coaching candidate on the market a year ago. And I would say, listening to what Ben Johnson has said, he feels better about Caleb now than he did a year ago. And part of why you believe Ben Johnson, Pat, if you think about going to a restaurant that you've never been to, and the waitress or waiter tells you the truth about, that's not our best dish, maybe don't get that. Then you believe them when they say, but this actually is, get this.
Right.
Ben Johnson has told you when things are going bad. He has not tried to sugarcoat it for you or make himself look good or make Caleb look good. Ben Johnson coached Caleb so hard and was so critical of him publicly that Caleb hit a point where he's like, I don't know if this guy likes me. Mm-hmm. The relationship was fragile, to use Caleb's word. So I am inclined to believe Ben Johnson when he talks about all of the strides that Caleb Williams has made and why he believes Caleb is headed up. And by the way, if Ben Johnson didn't feel that way, the Bears would be looking for a quarterback, because Ben Johnson has the power in this building right now. And if that guy, after what he's done this year, tells you this is not it, we need something better if we're going to get serious, then they would do it. And that's not a conversation whatsoever.
I don't believe Caleb used the word fragile, by the way. I believe he used the word fragile. Mm-hmm. A different word.
From A Christmas Story.
Ryan.
He had said later, by the way, I don't know if you ever heard that press conference when he said it, fragile, quoting A Christmas Story. It was around Christmas time. He said the next day, he's like, I was worried about that joke because I thought you guys wouldn't realize it was a joke and would just think I was an idiot mispronouncing the word. So I'm glad some people got it.
By the way, it tells you he probably thinks we are very old men who grew up with that movie.
I think that movie came out before I was born, let alone before he was born.
It came out when I was a very little kid, yeah. And in fact, I don't hate me for this. I don't know that movie start to finish. Fragile, I couldn't have told you in the moment. I could have told you it came from a movie. I couldn't tell you what movie it was.
All right, we're going down a side street here. Okay. Then how did you figure it out then? How did you know what it was?
You told me it was from
Okay, all right.
There's some just kind of...
What did you think then when he said it? What were you sitting there thinking when he said fragile?
I was in the locker room.
Oh, you weren't there for that. Okay, all right.
I was in the locker room all right. Waiting on DJ Moore to talk or something. I don't know. I mentioned DJ Moore. Let's go there.
Well, are we done with Ben Johnson?
I think that...
All right, so we've covered like the headliners of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Coach is good, quarterback's good.
All right.
Boy, that's something.
All right, let's work our way down here through some key guys like DJ Moore.
Not that not that relitigating the interception in overtime on Sunday was high on our list today, but it was something we had to take care of. And Ben Johnson had a chance to defend DJ Moore, kind of said, you know, I didn't really look at it, but I can tell you, by the way, if you believe a coach who just lost a game on an overtime interception didn't go back to look at the play yet, you're crazy.
I just said how honest I think Ben Johnson is, and also there is no way I believe him that he hasn't scrutinized every frame of that play.
What he said was, you know, if there was miscommunication, it's my fault. And then I believe it was Poles who was asked about DJ again. And he said the thing that I've been telling the people in my life who text me about DJ Moore. He's the toughest guy they have. Full stop.
He got hospitalized this year.
Yeah. Something to the gentleman.
But just guess what we wouldn't say.
I'll just say gentleman's region. How about that?
I think I said it enough, but go ahead.
Yes. You know, he says that, you know, DJ, if anything, DJ played with injuries so often this year that it shamed his teammates into also playing with injuries.
He said guys who were dinged up feel like they've got to play because DJ's playing.
Yeah, he also pointed out that this is the most winning DJ's ever had since high school. And I do wonder.
Mark, it's the only winning he's had since high school. It's the only winning season since high school.
Our old colleague Mark Potash used to circle Brandon Marshall and just say, go find the last winning team he was on. The last time they went to the playoffs, I think, was the stat. And you couldn't find it. And Potsy's theory was that there's something about certain good players that they're not, just because they're good doesn't make them winning players. And I do wonder, I think DJ's got the mindset that good teams should have. And I think that if he helps spread that mindset to his teammates, I think there's value there. I also think that I'm sure the Bears will have already talked to him about what happened there. And I give them credit for not pretending like they're great with it, whatever it was.
DJ Moore had played through a knee injury the last how many weeks of the season that you probably didn't even hear about.
Right.
Because he was never even questionable for a game because of that. You'd only would have noticed that in the bottom of a Chicago Sun-Times notebook, just a passing reference to DJ Moore playing through a knee injury.
Well, and we didn't make a big deal out of it either, because even if he was limited on a Wednesday, you and I knew he was going to play on a Sunday. Like, you know, there was never the option that he wouldn't.
DJ Moore, the negative on DJ Moore, the player, is some of the optics haven't been good. He is a bad body language person.
Mm-hmm.
You know those people who, like, are not walking around smiling all the time? I'm one of those people, so I understand that. It doesn't mean I'm unhappy. It's just I'm not that kind of bubbly personality like Dion Miller from ABC or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not that way. DJ Moore is not that way. And DJ Moore's personality gets misinterpreted, I think, as bad attitude a lot of times. So if DJ Moore didn't have all that history, I don't think that play at the end of the Rams game looks the same way to people. I think I look at that play and I see someone who was surprised in the middle of his route that Caleb threw underneath and hesitated as he tried to figure out what to do. And that looks like pulling up on a route. If you look at it through the lens of, I hate all this DJ Moore bad body language from last season, that looks like a guy who's giving up on a play. I just think that's highly unlikely compared to something happened that he didn't expect in the middle of a route in a high-pressure situation, and there was some hesitation on what to do with it. The positives on DJ Moore, the player, you've already covered what a tough player he is, and you cannot overstate that, because there are guys who will sit out for the smallest things in the name of self-preservation, and I don't even fault them for it. You should protect yourself in a league that is not going to protect you, that doesn't have guaranteed contracts, fully guaranteed contracts for the most part. DJ Moore will play through anything he can play through. He doesn't act like a guy who, in any way whatsoever, in any facet of how he carries himself at House Hall, does not act like a guy who has a $110 million contract. He just doesn't act like that. He totally bought into Ben Johnson coming in and saying, we're doing things differently, new playbook. And DJ Moore is one of their smartest football players. He was able to learn all the receiver positions and running back, no complaints. He also was very productive. And this is a guy who's been productive, highly, highly productive the last, his first two seasons with the Bears, and then his numbers dipped this year. But you have to understand that everybody's numbers dipped this year. Right. Romo Odunze, had he played all season as your number one, was not on pace to get 1,000 yards. He was going to have a chance, but he was on pace for, I want to say, 937 yards had he played all season at the same yards per game. Colston Loveland emerges. Cole Kmet is still a factor. You have two running backs now who both can be pass catchers. You have Olamide Zaccheaus. You have Luther Burden. Ben Johnson wanted an offense where there is, it just isn't so predictable that every ball is going to DJ Moore like it did when Justin Fields was the quarterback here. All of that being said, the player is not the problem at all for the Bears. The contract is. The contract is the issue. If you want to contend for a title, is the $28.5 million salary cap for DJ Moore, does that fit that puzzle for you if you need money to make a trade for Max Crosby? And there are things they can do to lower that number, obviously, with restructuring. And there are going to be limits to whether you can trade a contract like that. But that's the question about DJ Moore. The question is not if everybody costs the same, do we want DJ Moore? They want DJ Moore, the person and player in this building. Do they want that contract on their books?
I think the contract is, I think you can forgive it so long as Romo Odunze and Caleb Williams are making a rookie scale. But I'll tell you this too about that interception. And I think this is a very important point. Very important. Okay. I think it's an important point, not to over, look at me overselling.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Being mad at DJ Moore for an interception in overtime that wound up costing the Bears the game is a very convenient way to not be upset with Caleb Williams, who 20 minutes earlier had done the greatest thing any of us had ever seen. I think that the Bears fans in my life, you're right about the DJ Moore body language. That is absolutely 1,000% correct. I also think it's easier to, on your, you know, text threads, you know, when you go on social media, to sit there and say, stupid DJ Moore, instead of saying, this quarterback that I've never been more excited about a quarterback in my life as a Bears fan, this quarterback made a mistake, or the combination of the two made a mistake. I think it's a way, we saw this with Justin Fields in particular, but also with Mitch Trubisky. People will tie themselves into pretzels to avoid having to criticize the quarterback that they so badly want to be really good. That's the last time I will put Justin and Mitch in the same sentence as Caleb, because I think Caleb has moved past, he's two tiers above wherever they were, even at this point. Can we go through just little housekeeping things that may interest only you and I?
Some of them are not so little if you're talking about the injuries. Go ahead.
Ozzie Tripillo had surgery on his left knee because, a patellar tendon injury?
Yes. In the Packer wildcard game.
Sounds like the timeline on him is late into the calendar year. That is not good, Jason.
This is not your starting left tackle for the upcoming season.
No, it may not be. He may not play this season. I mean,
keep in mind, by the way, this is to me the third most important position on a roster,
mm-hmm.
left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And you only arrived at Ozzie Tripillo after a four-way competition, Pat,
yeah.
in which you first chose Braxton Jones and then said, ugh, and chose Theo Benedet and then said, ugh, and went to Ozzie.
And you had so much faith in those
others. And now that guy's out.
And you have so much faith in those other two that you moved somebody from guard to play tackle in the finale.
Because, yikes.
Yeah, that's not good that, I mean, nobody wants to see a player go through an injury that career-threatening, quite honestly. But I think it does, if the Bears were on the fence about going to find a left tackle before he got hurt, they're not anymore.
Yeah, but the one thing that they always have, because we've had this conversation before, they don't have a left tackle, they don't have a defensive end, they don't have a quarterback. All these premium positions is you're always like, oh, no big deal. They're picking fifth in the draft this year.
Right.
It's problem solved. And then we misallocate that and say that's going to be the solution to all three, even right. though you only get to draft one player with that pick. Well, this year they're picking 25th. That's not usually starting left tackle, major impact defensive end territory.
There will be time to discuss this later. I wonder if you're the Bears, because you can extend Darnell Wright starting today. Would you extend him and then move him to left tackle? Extend him now so you don't have to pay him like a left tackle. You pay him like a good right tackle.
I like that.
And then you move him, and 25th in the draft, you can find a right tackle there. I mean, that's, they found Ozzy in the second round.
I've been waiting for them to move Darnell Wright to left tackle since the day they drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I would see a lot of prudence in that. On the other hand, they would argue, maybe they'll do what you said, mm-hmm. but part of the argument against it is he has made so much progress, he looks so good at right tackle right mm-hmm. now.
Right. Noah Sewell, I believe it's a knee. Is that right, Jason?
Achilles.
In Achilles, he's going to be out
long. Achilles or ankle. So.
He's going to be out deeper into the offseason. I believe it's an Achilles. And then they expect back during the offseason program, Shamar Turner, Dio Odangbo, TJ Edwards, Zay Frazier, Terrell Smith, we call him Smitty, Karan Amagaji. Also, Jalen Johnson hurt his wrist in the last game they played, and Jordan McFadden hurt his ankle. McFadden played the whole game. Jalen played a lot.
Jalen's fine. Yeah. Ryan Pohl said he will be fine shortly, was his exact quote. No surgery or anything, just injured his wrist.
So that's just FYI sort of stuff. I don't think there's anything too shocking there. The one person that Ryan Pohl's said by name that he wants back is Kevin Byard.
Mm.
What'd you take from that? Because Byard 2 days ago said kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I got to see what's best for my family.
I took into account what he didn't say because the question was not about Kevin Byard.
Mm-hmm.
The question was about Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Byard.
Right.
And Ryan Pohl's answer, to paraphrase, was, well, we'll see. We got a lot of things to figure out, blah, 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 corporate speak. But I will say that I really like Kevin Byard. So that will be interesting. I think what Ryan Pohl said, what Kevin Byard said, really indicates that both sides want him here. He wants to play for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he and his family, their primary residence is in Nashville from all the years he played with the Titans and in college too, I think, right? In Nashville or no?
Not in Nashville, but
in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think he's fine with the idea of being back here physically in this location for another year, but money is a factor. The Bears would like him as a player, but they have their budget. He would like to be back here, but he has his financial concerns to look out for. Kevin Byard might not hit another big opportunity like this where he is an all-pro. Was he an all-pro this year? First team all-pro?
Yep.
All-pro safety, leading the league in interceptions. Looking just phenomenal physically at 32 or 33 years old. This might be kind of the last shot for him to cash in. And I think it's easy to say, oh, well, he's probably made a lot of money, and he has. But I've never been in a position to turn down potentially tens of millions of dollars to go play for the Jaguars or something like that. If somebody comes calling for it, then it's going to be tough for him. Because in the conversation with Kevin Byard on Monday, I don't want to cast this as him being disingenuous. It's more just these are the conflicting factors somebody in his position has to think of. Because he says at one point, well, the priority is my family and, you know, our family situation's been challenging. He's got three kids and a wife, and they've been splitting time between Chicago and Nashville. Another hand, he says the priority is winning
right
at this stage in his career. And at another point, he kind of implies that he's got to see who's offering what financially. And it's not that he's talking out of three sides of his mouth. It's that imagine being in his position. All three are really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a good situation? There's only one team that plays in Nashville, so I don't know how you solve that problem other than signing with the Titans. But with the other things, the winning versus the money, if somebody's offering you just money that will put your great-great-great-grandchildren through college,
right,
but you got to leave the Bears, it's pretty hard to turn down.
Well, and if you're trying to win, too, Mike Vrabel, he's got a team that's probably going to be in the Super Bowl, and Kevin Byard and him are close from their time together in Nashville. By the way, just because I can't drop it in my own head, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, home of Middle Tennessee State University,
okay,
where Kevin Byard went. I know that neither of us were going to be able to sleep otherwise. Anything else grab you? Just seemed like kind of a, you know, Ben Johnson kept saying, we haven't done anything. We all slide to the bottom of the ladder now. And maybe that's true. But
it's not.
But it's not. And it's also, I think like I said, just if that were the case, everybody would have been miserable in that room we just came from. And they weren't.
They
were all generally optimistic.
If the Bears wanted to bring back their entire starting offense, do they have every one of them under contract right now?
Who are we calling the left tackle?
Let's say yes. Yeah, Ozzie Theo.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
So they have the option right now to bring back their entire starting offense plus a couple other guys that are key players there. And Ben Johnson, I don't think that they will bring back all, let's say, 14 of those guys. Mm-hmm. But Ben Johnson was saying that while he was saying what you said about a reset, that momentum doesn't carry over, the offensive continuity does. Mm-hmm. That these guys will be starting at a different place in terms of understanding his offense and running his offense than they did, obviously, when it was new to them. Because you're bringing so many guys, because you could potentially bring everyone back offensively from a team, by the way, that was sixth in the league in points after being last the year before, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah, and there's some value to continuity beyond that. Just knowing the plays, knowing what's expected of you in practice, just all the things that the Bears seem to reset every 3 years whenever they bring in a new head coach. They don't have to do that.
He did. Ben Johnson made kind of, I don't think he meant to be funny, but it was funny to me when he said, you know, guys, we're talking about how hard training camp was last year. I didn't think it was weird. It wasn't out of the ordinary for
me. That's normal in my world, he said. Yeah.
He also said, though, something that you guys who scream at TVs during games will and who yell Pat's particular catchphrase in the press box. You guys will be happy to hear this. He did say that eliminating drops is going to be a big factor, a big point of emphasis in this offseason. He didn't say how they're going to drill down on that, mm-hmm. but the one that lingers for everybody, including the player himself, is Romo Odunze dropping one at around the 2-yard line on that opening drive mm-hmm. Against the Rams, and a drive that ends with an interception and no points. Drops were a problem this year, and the thing is, man, Ben Johnson's got that's one of those things where I'm like, how do you fix that? If a guy drops passes, he drops passes. That usually dogs a player throughout their career if that's bad habits. When Ben Johnson says he's going to fix it, I kind of believe him because he's got a way of fixing things.
Yeah, you are what you emphasize is what they say around here. Two words, by the way, super glue.
Okay, you want to try that?
Right. Yeah, or what, really sticky gloves? I don't know how you do it. You probably just drill it in. I think it's more of a mental exercise than anything else. It's just... by the way, screaming, don't drop the ball, is probably, I don't know, does that make you not drop the ball or drop it more?
I think the like, psychology is that you never want to, I'm doing it now.
Do it.
But you only want to say, yeah, let me try to do this. You only use positive phrasing. How about that?
I'm positive I don't want you to drop that ball.
I can't say that. If I say the opposite of that, then I'll be like undercutting my own point.
Right.
But you need to be saying at the free throw line, make the free throw, not don't miss. Always emphasize it in your mind in a positive way. Make the field goal, catch the ball, mm-hmm. complete the pass, pick up the pressure.
Yeah.
Instead of don't not do that.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, when kids miss a free throw, you go, all right, you're going to make the next one. You don't go start doing push-ups. You do that later.
You never, I'm doing it again when I say you never, you always think about the, and picture and think about and tell yourself the success you're going to have, not the opposite of that, which is to tell yourself not to fail at whatever the thing is. There you go.
Real quick, because
a little life lesson for you, Patrick.
Real quick.
Think about that when you're writing a column today.
Don't be bad.
Yeah, be thinking, write a good column.
Real quick before we get out, sounds like a couple of different teams have put in slips to interview Bears position coaches for coordinator jobs. Ben Johnson said he wants everybody to go get a coordinator job, and he'd be thrilled if they did, but he also wants people who are happy to be here, and he wants volunteers, not hostages. So it sounds like it's a win-win thing. I don't know that I'd be that concerned if I were a Bears fan of losing too many people.
Well, I don't think you're losing Declan Doyle or Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
So I think your offensive and defensive coordinator are good. I don't think you're losing Richard Hightower unless you are wanting to make a move.
Right.
So you know, beyond that, I haven't heard as of Wednesday of any names other than Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
Who's pretty much sounds like a done deal to the Chiefs now.
Yeah, and I think you could argue that maybe Al Harris and maybe Antoine Randle-L could be attractive to other people, sure, but neither of them have ever called plays before. So if so, it'd be them taking a chance.
The interesting thing would be if somebody came sniffing around Declan Doyle with the opportunity to call plays.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of why, like when I sit here and say on Wednesday, January 21st, that the only one we've heard of is Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that a bunch of these coaching vacancies haven't been filled yet, mm-hmm. or they just got filled,
right?
Like Robert Saleh. These guys are going to then, it's going to trickle down to where they need to hire coordinators. So not just the teams in the league that have fired coordinators and were filling those, like the head coach was incumbent and staying and mm-hmm. filling that spot. Now you have new coaches mm-hmm. who will have this domino effect of pulling coordinators in, and then those teams will look to right. fill spots. And so you're a long way from over here. When did the because the Bears are in this every year. I know the coach hiring cycle better than I know the playoff schedule yeah. because that's what we're usually doing here. But I think the Bears have usually been finalizing coordinators when they've needed them late January, early February.
Last year, Ben Johnson was officially hired, signed the piece of paper literally a year ago today. Mm-hmm. They were still announcing but hiring coaches the last couple of days of Super Bowl week.
Yeah, there you
so,
go.
So at least two more weeks to go on that. Jason, that'll do it from here. We will be back at some point, but it seems like we'll do what the Bears are asking Caleb Williams to do, which is maybe get away from football for at least a couple of days. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website. If you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
This spring, WBEZ presents Patti Smith in conversation with Jeff Tweedy, Anita Franco, Patrick Radden Keefe with Gillian Flynn, and more. See the full lineup and register at WBEZ.org/events.